The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey everyone, welcome to Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. A little different background music, and no, it's not a recording. This is being played live by my good friend John Morgan, not the attorney, but the presidential impersonator who does George Bush and looks like George W. Bush more than sometimes George W. Bush looks like himself, if that's altogether possible. Welcome, John Morgan.
It's good to be here, Mike. Appreciate your invitation.
It's always fun to have you here. And we're going to change things up a little bit in how we do the program. John has his beautiful guitar in hand, and we're going to hear from him right now. And this is John Morgan on a new song that he's written.
When I think of all my sin you've carried on the cross, I don't deserve your love. You took all my filthy rags and paid the greatest cost. I have been served by love. For your love reached down and found me as I wallowed in my shame. And you wrapped your grace around me and have given me your name. You lifted me up and set my feet upon a rock. I don't deserve your love. You forgave my wicked ways and taught me how to walk. I have been served by love. For your love reached down and found me as I wallowed in my shame. And you wrapped your love around me and have given me your name. If I live a thousand years, my heart will still proclaim, I don't deserve your love. If I summed up everything I've learned about your name, I have been served by love. I don't deserve your love.
Now that is beautiful. Is that freshly written? Is that brand new?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Tell us a story on that song.
Well, it comes out of Psalm 40, which says, he drew me, the Lord waited patiently for mm-hmm. me, and then he drew me out of the muck yeah. and the mire, out of the slimy pit, and set my feet upon a rock. And when I consider both Kathy and myself and our lives before we came to know the Lord and how he restored us and changed us,
mm-hmm.
Psalm 40 kind of is our life verse. And I love the next verse in that psalm that says, he put a new song in our mouth.
That's right.
A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their hope in the Lord.
I love that. I wrote a song years ago. We used to sing at Metro Life Church called You Put a New Song in Your Mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. That's so Psalm 40 has been a very special one to me too. That song's beautiful, very reflective and worshipful and so intimate before the Lord. So I love it.
Thanks,
how long ago did you write it?
It's maybe a month old.
Wow, that's awesome. John Morgan's who you just heard. We're going to hear more from his music coming up in a moment. John is a, and has been, a presidential impersonator, and you do this as a full-time job. This is what you do for your living, and I know we've talked about this on the radio in the past. You know, we always know that an administration, if you're doing a presidential impersonation, one would think that that might have a shelf life to it. And so far, you have not found the end of that shelf life from even when George W. So he leaves office in 2008. And here we are now, almost 13 years later. And you're still doing this, man.
Right. And I'm biding my time on my Joe impersonation.
Biding your time. That's a good one. Now, that's one of the questions that I was going to have for you today. Is there going to be a change in your repertoire? Do you see yourself having a President Biden impersonation coming around?
It's likely.
Likely. You know, I don't think, John, you're one of these kind of people. I don't think there's an end to your ability to kind of morph yourself into doing different characters. You did this with George W., of course. You did it with President Trump. And you actually, toward the end of his first 4 years, you had a whole act. And are you still doing that part of it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, I just had the privilege of performing at a wedding in Nashville, a very high-scale wedding in Nashville, and the groom was none other than Wyatt Miller, who is a Seattle Seahawk, former Dallas Cowboy, who was on the Dream Team at UCF, who had that undefeated season and almost two undefeated seasons, and he was a tackle for that team, and a whole bunch of that UCF team were there at the wedding. It was so fun. And they are big Trump fans. So big, huge, huge, fantastic Trump fans. They're so fantastic. And so they had me come down. There was at the venue, there was a set of stairs. So they wanted the escalator arrival, you know.
Now, wait a minute. You said, pardon me for interrupting. You said this is a wedding?
Wedding rehearsal dinner.
Oh, now I'm feeling much better now. I missed the rehearsal dinner part.
My bad.
I'm thinking this was a wedding.
No. That would be, I performed the wedding. It was so fantastic. Let there be justice and peace, okay, from a justice
right.
of the peace.
I'm feeling a little bit better now. I'm sorry. I'm getting the escalator in my brain here at a wedding and it suddenly it was all falling apart for me right now.
Well said. Yeah.
All right. So it's a wedding. Now I'm back on track. My stress of this morning is now back in check again in proper ways. So continue
funny.
With the story, man.
Well, it was fun because he was a tackle. So I said, so I know you tackled many individuals in your career. And I'm telling you, I can relate because I also tackled a lot of big issues. Big, huge. China, for example. Okay. North Korea. And, you know,
yeah,
of course,
right.
Immigration. And, you know, people think that I am not a lover of immigrants. Wrong. I do love immigrants. Legal immigrants. Legal. Okay. So, and so after I did Trump for a while, I said, now I know you, and they were all, you know, like totally caught up into it. It was so fun. Then I said, and I did the wig drop. I said, you know, I'm not really, you guys realize I'm, of course, not really Donald Trump. And would you like to meet the real me? Which is so fun because people think, oh, it's going to be over. and then just when they think it's coming to an end, I pull off the wig and go, surprise! And it's George W. And then the real comedy begins.
Okay,
you know,
you're right, because you've been doing that comedy for all these years. And it is part of it's almost part of your persona, man. And I don't know how you keep from breaking into that when you just go into Publix. That's crazy. Give us George W. Bush looking for toothpaste, asking a clerk. No, folks.
Hang on, I gotta. You gotta help me out, man. My breath is killing Laura. I'm telling you, she's on oxygen. I need some toothpaste.
That's great.
My teeth are the color of last night's squash.
Oh, man. If you've just tuned in and you're wondering who in the world this is John Morgan from Orlando. That's where John lives. That's where I've known John for a long time. And you've been on this show. You were my very first guest on Afternoons with Mike back in, my goodness, that would be the end of July of 2019. So you've been on probably 7 or 8 times or more. And it's always a real pleasure to have you on. And I laugh. Obviously, I'm a big fan of John Morgan. You can tell it doesn't take much for him to crack me up, and we're all laughing. But, you know, John, I wanted to talk about that for a moment because you mentioned how people, thankfully not at the wedding, but at the wedding rehearsal, that these people were really getting into it. That there has to be for you a lot of fun. And you mentioned even that it is fun. But there, you're the one doing it, and you're the one who has the microphone. And I've had, and I know you've had, you know, we've both done stand-up kind of comedies before.
Right, we worked together. Remember Clarky Arky?
Oh, my goodness, that's right. Yeah, we've worked together a lot on humor and big public parties and big events. You doing the Bash for years. Metro Life Church did this annual Christmas party called the Bash, and you were always a part of that. And always there. Now, my point is that I've had a few of those years when I was doing that, and I'm standing there, and I'm on microphone, and I'm talking, and suddenly that thing or that joke that I would have felt would have been just a real ringer, and it turned out to be a ringer, all right. It was like right a ringer right down the drain, man. It was terrible. And that moment when you're up there and you're like, it's a Southwest moment. It's what it is. Like, where's the nearest airline that I can jump on and be long, far away from here? But that had to be fun for you when you're doing all of this stuff and people are laughing.
Oh gosh. Yes. I'm having fun right along with everyone else. And I'm trying not to break character and just bust up laughing the whole time because I'm like a kid with a toy, you know, just having a giddy, good time right along with everyone else. But I've got to stay in character.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my smile, the tears of a clown.
Now, when you're doing Bush, I can only imagine, because Bush would not be the fastest talker in the world. Bush would have had a style that would have been a little bit more, let's just say, more pauses. Yeah, you can move that microphone out of the way. The microphone that was recording that wonderful guitar. We'll get back to that in the next segment. The kind of like the pauses that maybe you have some time to think about what you're going to do. So your timing, your natural timing, comedic timing really plays into that.
Yes, without a doubt. And I've had plenty of jokes not hit. I'll change the temper. The tempo of a joke, and I'll know it just died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll usually wait a beat and said, whoever wrote that joke's going to Guantanamo.
So you use that. Yeah. And I think that's the mark of a great stand up who can think on his feet or her feet and be able to then even use something that may have not gone over the way they expected to kind of use that to their strength and their advantage and then move on and make it funny. It becomes like a new joke then, doesn't it?
And that's always in my hip back pocket, that Guantanamo thing, in case, you know, anytime something. But you can only use that once a night. You know?
Yeah, once a night. And then if you have another bad joke, then you're on your own at that point.
Yes. I definitely recall one time when a joke just sat there and I thought about it, and later on I found out why. It's because the whole crowd thought that I was George W. Bush, and they didn't want to laugh because they thought it would be rude.
Oh yeah.
And they were so convinced that they, you know, they were trying to take me seriously, and I had to actually prime them. hey, folks, you can laugh. This is funny stuff. And they just fell out. I mean, it was like, oh, we can laugh.
Oh, it's okay.
You're being funny. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I get it now. Yeah, but otherwise, there's nothing worse. I had this experience. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I had this experience of sitting in front in 1980 as President Carter was talking. I was in the eighth row, and I was smack in front of him. And I was on an aisle seat to boot. And he said something, which I'm not going to go into that whole story. It's funny in and of itself, but it's way too long of a story to tell on this. But he said something that struck me as funny. And it was funny because what he did was when he said it, he realized he had made a little bit of a word bob, and he just... He jolted his face in a real funny way. It was like he shook himself. Like, did I just say that? And then he corrected himself. And there was something about that struck me as so hilarious. And I'm sitting there, and I had a friend with me. We were there together. We were both, I was the producer for his show at that point. And it was a TV program, a Christian TV program. And we were there so excited and never expected this to happen. But I am starting now to shake. And I'm starting to laugh inwardly, and I'm thinking, you idiot, you're laughing at the president of the United States. And so the more I thought about that line, the funnier it got. And then after a moment...
I'm over here dying just listening to the story.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
I'm reaching down now, and I'm grabbing underneath my kneecap thing, squeezing it, trying to cause pain, you know, trying to say, stop it. Just stop this stuff because you're laughing at the president. And then I made truly, I mean, in my mind, John, I'm thinking there are Secret Service people. We'd already seen them. We spotted them up by the catwalk up above them, and they were leaning down. They had binoculars. And I'm thinking, dear God, any moment one of them is going to come up and tap my shoulder, and I'm out of here, and I'm going to be in Guantanamo. Man, that's what I'm thinking when I made the fatal mistake. I thought, I wonder if Rick, my friend, is being affected by this too.
So
in my shaking moment, I'm bobbing up and down, and I start to turn my head. And as I did, he was doing the exact, he was looking at me. And the moment we saw each other shaking and jump, we both broke out in hee-haws. It was terrible.
Oh, that's so
funny. It was the worst moment in my professional career.
Did the two of you get up and leave?
No, we finally, by God's grace, got a hold of that, and that moment passed. But it was the most embarrassing moment, and that I know of, no one ever started to come. But I really did. I really expected to get escorted out. I thought that was it.
Oh,
you've
gosh.
Done it now, man. You've blown it.
Oh, those moments. That's a great topic for a whole show, you know, moments you wish had never happened.
Oh yeah. Well, I've had a few of those. Oh my goodness. But I just can't imagine, going back to the original point, how much fun it must be to get to entertain people. And you've always been such a fun entertainer of people. John, you walk into, I remember Kathy's mom, you would often do this at the kind of like the assisted living place or wherever she was.
Right.
She would go in, you'd go in with your ukulele and just, you would entertain the whole place.
Yeah.
That's just what you do, man.
Yeah. That's always kind of been my love.
Mm-hmm.
I love lifting people. The opportunity, you know, the way I've pictured it recently is I'd like to be a mirror where the Lord can, through me, minister to people. And then people watching me can, you know, not maybe see me, but see the God who empowers me.
Yeah.
You know, to be a like a prism reflecting the light of the Lord in both directions.
Yeah. You kind of talk about that in your first book. Which what was it, like My Life as a Bush or
right,
something?
Right.
I think it was the title of it. And in that book, you talked about the fact that you're an imitator, you're an impersonator. That's the right word. But that, and what an impersonator does is imitate people, and how that aspect is, that's what we're called. We're called in some ways to become more like Jesus in our walk. And just that realization that we can, not in a humorous way or not in a disrespectful way, but just to cry out to God, Lord, let me become more the way you want me to be, which is to be more Christ-like. And that's really kind of what you're doing. And you've always done a good job of, I think, you know, in those moments. And again, this is a fine mark of a good comedian, is that you can have people laughing one moment and almost crying the next. That's really a good, that's really a good mark, man.
Well, thank you. It, and it's just, it's a flow. It's being open to literally hearing the voice and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, having the comedy already, but sensing that moment when it, when you can turn it to ministry. Like, for example, at the wedding reception, in this one moment, I was able to share with the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be that if they pursue God together, their relationship will always be strong, and that as they serve one another, they will, you know, find that their marriage remains significant. And that's, it was really a blast.
Well, that's fun, and I'm glad now I've got that image of my mind of just before the kiss at the altar, John Morgan shows up. And I'm really glad.
Where is
that? Oh, my goodness. My guest today is John Morgan, the presidential impersonator, and we're going to be back with him in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. Back again here on Afternoons with Mike, with my good friend John Morgan in the studio with us. John has his guitar in hand and is going to be favoring us with another song, and I can't wait for that to come up. But we were talking in segment one about really crazy, funny things that happened, and I shared a story about me, and we were, it kind of got into this vein of talking with my misunderstanding that I thought John was telling me that he did his Bush and his Trump impersonation at a wedding in Nashville recently, but it was actually at the wedding rehearsal the night before.
Right.
Now, that's an entirely different mood, and entirely, and although I've been in some weddings before where there were plenty funny things that happened, and you were there too. The time that our good friend Mike Nash was performing a ceremony for our good friend Dan Wilcox, and a bunch of doves, two doves that were released at the front, were supposed to just kind of flutter from the hands of the bride, of the maid of honor and the best man, and instead they started dive bombing everybody in the and there were so many funny things that happened, including
a few drops on a few touches.
Yes, that's what I started to say. It was, these birds were obviously a little, they were a little upset. Let's just put it that way. And it turned out to be quite a moving experience in more ways than one.
But before you move on, that opens a flood of memory of an opportunity that I had to perform at the Comedy and Magic Club, which is the club in Hermosa Beach,
California.
That Jay Leno is famous for. And you'll see one of his fabulous cars out front every Monday evening. And so I got this great opportunity. And the gentleman who got me in, we went in early to get set up, you know, because we had to have the podium and the presidential seal and everything, and set it up just right behind the curtain for the surprise opening. And when we walked up on the stage, there was a white smear on the otherwise beautiful red velvet curtain. And my friend who got me in there, very prestigious man and very prestigious venue, walked up and assumed incorrectly, must be cake frosting. he went up with his finger and scratched it and tasted it.
Oh my!
And he found out it wasn't cake frosting. the comedy and magic club. There's going to be birds flying in a comedy.
My goodness, that would be a disgusting reality there. My goodness! Yeah,
I laughed. That was one of those ones where I had to compose myself after watching him do that.
Now, you had another time you were telling me about with Jack Hayford.
This was a a couples conference that very revered minister Jack Hayward was at and bringing
that's also
tremendous
California,
teaching.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he's from, yes, out there. But this was in Orlando at Calvary. And Kathy and I were there and, you know, two or three or four other couples that were, we were all friends. We were all sitting on the same pew next to each other. And he was talking about wives and husbands submitting to one another and how husbands are the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And then he blurts out this side comment. Now, I'm not talking about whips and chains and stuff like that. And for some unknown reason, my wife goes, "See?" As though, you know, there was nothing. We'd never had any commentary.
Right,
we'd never had conversation, as though it was the continuation of whatever we'd been arguing about.
Right.
And well, all of us on that row just busted. Well, I heard the whole church busted out laughing. But we on
you
that
wife
row,
beater you.
We never could recompose. I never heard another word that Reverend that Jack Hayford said because of the laughter that just never subsided. And every time we would stop laughing, the pew would begin to jiggle from somebody else down the row laughing again. And that would set the whole group of us off. It was so funny.
Those are crazy moments. And, you know, when people say things that they don't mean, they come out different than they want it to come out. Or you say something that you're just flat out embarrassed about. I did that one time too, up in Kentucky, to where I was using, and it happened on a day, and I'm sure this was part of the reason why it happened, but I just used this silly, taking the verse about the train filled the temple, and just kind of, I'm not going to say I did, but I might have alluded to a choo-choo train. And this was in a worship service on a Sunday morning at a time in which a man that was highly respected, a pastor, was visiting, who I had known most of my entire life, and he was on the front row to my left, and I said that, may or may not have said that. And I was praying that God just take me home right now. Please let there be a trap door underneath me or something that opens up. Get this guy off the stage. Get him out of the microphone. That's what I was thinking. But, oh, my goodness, those are moments that you just wish you could have a do-over. But there are no do-overs in life, stuff like that, man.
No.
You're just going to live with it and run with it and say I'm sorry later.
That's the kind of stuff nightmares are made of. I mean, there's a lot of potential speakers that, because of moments like that, never got off the ground.
Well, that's true. Or their career cut short very quickly because of just some sort of a gaffe or moment that is just, oh my goodness. I think that's happened to a lot of people where they just said things and their careers never recovered from it. You know, so you got to be careful for sure. You had some, now switching over to positive, wonderful, memorable moments. You've had so many of them, and I'm so glad that one of them was caught on videotape in a really great way, and you can catch it on YouTube. But you were invited to speak at the Big Dove Awards, or the GMA Week, I guess it is.
Oh, yes, yes.
Years ago, and tell us a little bit about that whole experience, and then I've asked John to play a song it's kind of a bluesy song for the president that you did that night. Listen, I'm speaking of you in third person. That he did. Yeah, that Bush did that night.
I never know which person I am. But you know what? I want to give you a little Texas twang. This is a little 30-second little doodop before I tell the story.
Okay. That's it.
I just didn't know if that would translate without the visual.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I thought you were going into a very memorable song and a very recognizable riff right there. But anyway, you were invited to be in Nashville, and I know a lot of really amazing things happened that week. You met some people that have become friends, and
it was
really
so fun.
Yeah.
That happened as a result. You know, I can really take a whole segment to tell this story. But the bottom line of it is, always obey the Lord. I mean, I'm going to tell you the punchline before I tell you the story.
Okay.
Because this was an instance where I could so easily have said no and missed everything that happened. I wound up with a publisher. I wound up with a booking agency. I wound up with a publicist. I wound up with a manager, all as a result of saying yes in this one time. And then all of those relationships led to being invited to an event called a guitar pull, which is a bunch of people sitting around in a hotel suite playing guitars and jamming. Mm-hmm. And just the people that are there are all world-class famous guitar players and singers mm-hmm. in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so my new publicist said, oh, we got to have you come and do that fishy song of yours, you know, and come to the guitar pull. And I'm like, who's going to be there? And she's Mariel Anderson, Phil Kagi. And I said, wait, stop right there.
Phil Kagi. Yeah. Come on, man.
Are you kidding me? She goes, yeah, he'll love that song. I'm like, uh-uh. I'm not doing that song for Phil Kagi. I have to do something that has some chops to it, you know?
But in a way, you're talking about Selfishy Song? Is that
right.
The song you're...
That's what she wanted to hear.
And you didn't want to do that? That's a great song.
Well, thank you.
But it might be a little trite, is what you're saying,
well,
right?
It might a little trite, and I just pictured me riding a little trike.
not trike, trite.
Yeah. In my pride and arrogance as a human being, I didn't want to not do something cool guitar-wise, which, of course, if I played three lifetimes, I could never do something that Phil Kagi would consider impressive, you know, because he's just such a phenomenal artist and my boyhood hero in the faith. And so to meet him, I was so excited. So I worked up this song that I'm about to perform for you and was able to perform it with Phil. I got him to jam with me on it during that guitar pull. After we did the surprise, you know, the president comes walking in with the Secret Service and surprised everybody. And I worked up a routine, you know, for everybody that made sense in the moment and blah, blah, blah. And everybody had a good laugh. And then I jammed with Phil Kagi. Oh, my gosh.
On a borrowed guitar, I might add, right?
No, this was my guitar.
Oh, you had your guitar for that one. Okay.
Yeah. The maker of McPherson guitars, Matt McPherson, was one of the guitarists in that room. And most of the guitar players were playing his guitars, which mm-hmm. are their fantastic, amazing, world-class guitars. And so that happened. And as a result of that, I got invited to perform that same song on the Dove Awards the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're just hanging out in the suite. I'm in there. Matt McPherson is there. And I've got this old Beater guitar. I loved my guitar, but it was, you know, just my old guitar. And I thought, man, it sure would be nice to play a McPherson guitar on the Dove Awards. And then I thought, ask him. And I'm like, no, come on, get some audacity. No, what's the worst that could happen? Hey, Matt. Oh gosh, here goes. And I said, he goes, yeah, John. And I said, man, you know, the president's going to be playing on the Dove Awards tomorrow night. Sure would be cool to have him play a McPherson guitar, wouldn't it? And he says, yeah, John, take mine. And he just hands me his guitar.
Oh, my goodness.
And he says, take it to your room, play it tonight, enjoy it, play it on the show tomorrow, and I'll get it back for you after the show. Well, there's a big honking lesson for everyone to learn from that. You have not because you ask not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to play the song, and I'll play it for you in just a moment.
And then we'll tell the rest of that story after that. Yeah.
All right.
So this song you wrote and was really performed.
It's a collaboration with me and two other guys.
All right. But it was a first performed that there in Nashville just with you and Phil jamming.
And the rest of the world-class guitars at the guitar.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Here it comes.
What a great memory. Thank you for asking me about that because that was really fun.
Well, now, folks, The fact that I've been taking guitar lessons from my friend Willie Nelson is part of the deal, and I got a blues song to play for you, but it only takes two strings because that's all I'm up to, you know, in my lessons. And so the good news is it only takes two strings to play the blues.
Wow.
Well, I'm the free world leader. Freedom's rolling out to you. Well, I'm the free world leader now, mama. Freedom rolling out to you. Well, I'm a good news instigator, compassionate conversator. It's freedom, it's rocking and rolling on up to you. Got me a nuclear buster, protecting freedom, that's what I do. Oh, you know it's true. Got me a daisy cluster, protecting the red, white, and blue. Well, you best not mess with U.S., baby, or U.S. sure will mess with you. Yeah, let's hear it for the red, white, and blue. Here comes my favorite verse. Well, I'm a Laura lover. Ooh, that lovely lady stays on my mind. Whoa, she's so fine. Well, I'm a Laura lover. That lovely lady stays right on my mind. That was the president doing the king. Well, I'm so glad I got her love for my own now. Sweet child, there won't be no child left behind. Seems how lately, babe, I got a bad case of red, white, and blue. Whoa, yeah, yeah.
How great is that? That's John Morgan and Red, White, and Blue, and that is a great, not only a great song, but it's fun. And to see you do it all in person, in the person of George W. Bush. And again, to finish out that story before we take another break here, John, to finish out that story, you got invited to do that song the very next night on the Dove Awards, which you did with Matt's guitar. Now tell the rest of
yes,
that story.
Yes, it was so fun. And I was very grateful that I got a standing ovation from a Nashville guitar audience and a Christian audience. And as I was walking off the stage feeling very, very good, my cell phone rang. I picked it up, and it was Matt McPherson on the phone. And I said, hello. And he said, John, great job. And I said, thank you, sir. And he said, John, take that guitar home with you.
It's like every guitar player's dream. Goodness. Conversation right there.
Yeah, no question about
Here's
it.
Here's a free guitar.
Yeah, it was
And not only that, but amazing. You became recognized as a McPherson artist, right?
That's right. That's right. I went on their website as a McPherson guitar representative, and he actually wound up exchanging that guitar for another new one. He told me later
you got your own guitar.
Yeah, he was going to watch the assembly line for just the right guitar, and about a month and a half later, it arrived in the mail, and I was able to return his personal private guitar to him. I'm still playing that guitar today.
That's just such a great story, and the provision of God. And just, again, going back to the thing you first said, don't say no to the Lord when he's opening a door. When it's him, don't resist that. Think about how many things would have been different in your life had you not done that, had you not gone to Nashville.
It's a wonderful life.
It's crazy. John Morgan, the presidential impersonator. We're going to be back with John in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're in tune to The Shepherd. Here we are back in the studio again with my good friend John Morgan. John is the presidential impersonator, has done President Bush now. How many years, John, have you been doing this?
18.
18 years doing this, and he's done this in venues. He's done this around the world, really, venues. I know last time you were here, we were talking about the trip you took to Japan And I think, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember, when they brought you to Japan to perform, it's like you flew all the way over there and did your show, and you didn't hang around, did you?
Oh, yeah. They. Oh, you're right. You're right. No, I got to see the tall buildings.
Oh, you did get to see a little bit.
Yeah, but just pretty much for the car. It was a very odd situation, because I had told them, what I was told was it was Japan's version of Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
And I had made very clear the fact that I'm not going to be doing any cussing. I'm not going to be doing anything that denigrates the president. And you can be certain of that. So when I got there, I looked at what they wanted me to say, and I was very uncomfortable with it, and actually refused to come out of the dressing room. It was the weirdest, most awkward, horrifying situation, because I thought, I don't want to misrepresent the Lord. I don't want to misrepresent my president in another country. You know, I mean, hey, we make fun of faux pas. That's what we do. That's just, you know, you and I make fun of one another's faux pas. Yeah, you know, that's,
and I make a lot of faux pas, so that it works.
Yeah, but I found out that the people that were there, the purpose of the skit is they were making fun, literally, of Americans and the way they mess up speech. And so George W. Bush fits right into that category, and that would be fun. Everything would be fine. But what they had was everyone in the studio audience was wearing shirts that had bad language on it.
Oh, really?
And really bad language.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't want to be a part of this. And they convinced me that, oh, no, this is only for the Japanese market, because they can't read the words. If it's seen in America, they won't see those shirts. And I'm like, I don't believe you, but for the sake of moving forward, I'll go ahead and accept
that.
Well,
and for the sake of ever getting back to the United States, you're over there. You're kind of in a bad place, man.
Well, it was Japan. It wasn't China.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's true. Yeah.
That was a different venue, but that was fun, too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, the last time you were here, we talked about a song. And we'll get to that song right now, because of the fact that it deals with a real, I guess you could say, a common theme that all Americans watched. It, you know, it was bad enough to get hit with the coronavirus early in March of that year, is when it finally made all this crazy stuff that's going on with the world was now brought to the United States. And we know we went through the lockdowns, and I just never would have dreamed that. I had a chance to go to the NRB. You were at the NRB as well. And we are there, and we're hearing the world news reports, and we get back from that. That was at the end of February, and before just a couple of weeks, man, they were doing the lockdown orders. And then, if that's not bad enough, the whole racial issue came up with the Memorial Day and the sad, tragic death of George Floyd. And first thing you know, now America is just in tensions out the window. It's not just any longer tensions caused by the coronavirus or COVID-19. It's that, you know, we're seeing this election year coming to a culmination, and just horrible events happening. And in the middle of that, you write a song that really, I think, helps to quell some of those tensions and helps to put some of the things in biblical order, the way God would want us to look at each other and our people who would be different than us, and really ask God to change our hearts. And God gave you a song, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And I'm very thrilled about the song, because it expresses my own heart to work together to recognize that we are all one family. You know, in John 17, Jesus said in his priestly prayer to his dad, he said, Father, I pray that they would all be one. As I am in you and you are in me, I am in them, that they would all be one with one another. And so that's not on the basis of gender or on the basis of nationality or anything. It's just unity,
mm-hmm.
and that we can all enjoy a brotherhood in the church, and that's what this is a call to.
Wonderful. This is John Morgan with My Brother and Me.
Well, there are two sides to every single story, the passion and the glory. Just trying to make it through the day. You know, we're trying to come together, arm in arm and hand in hand. And with my brother, I will fight to unify our land. America, home of the brave. We stand strong when we're willing to change. And I will wash the feet of freedom and bow down on my knees, praying for a healing, fighting for the freedom of my brother and me. But on the other hand, there are those who would undo us, unruly who would rule us and break us all apart. And I will stand beside you, fight against injustice, lawless ones among us. Come on, let freedom ring. America, home of the brave. We stand strong when we're willing to change. And I will wash the feet of freedom and bow down on my knees, praying for a healing, fighting for the freedom of my brother and me. E pluribus unum, get your guitars and tune them. Melody and harmony, let's make a little revelry. E pluribus unum, get your guitars and tune them. Melody and harmony, let's make a little revelry. Come on now, y'all. E pluribus unum, get your guitars and tune them. Melody and harmony, let's make a little revelry. America, home of the brave. We stand strong when we're willing to change. And I will wash the feet of freedom, bow down on my knees, praying for a healing, fighting for the freedom, praying for a healing. Oh, I'm fighting for the freedom of my brother and me.
My brother and me, that is John Morgan. And John, that is such a great, now the last time you, such a great song. The last time you were here, we did the recorded version, which has your friend, and we can say your friend, Phil Kagi. That's just nuts, man. Because I remember the day that years ago, you and I went down as guitar players that love this guy and watched a concert down in, I think it was in the Kissimmee area or someplace down there, but we went with our wives and just had a great time, and now you record with Phil Kagi. So that's just too cool, my man. That's awesome. But I enjoyed your live version of it this morning.
Thank you so much.
As we're recording this here in the studio, it is so great to have John Morgan with us. John, I know that we've got a private party coming up, or some sort of party, where we're going to be playing some music together with a couple of well-known guys. You already know these guys. I don't know them, but you already do. But they are part of this Million Dollar Quartet show that was a Tony Award-winning Broadway show. And it's done live. I guess it's a traveling version. But they also do it in Vegas. And these performers that we're going to get to play for in a couple of weeks, they're pretty good players, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Jerry Lee Lewis impersonator, which has the chops of Jerry Lee Lewis on the keyboards. Absolutely phenomenal.
His name is Jacob Tolliver.
Jacob Tolliver, yes. And then also my friend Cole, who is an Elvis Presley. impersonator. And they do this whole show that has the backstory of these artists and how they got signed to Sun Records, and the whole experience is delightful. Well, these performers are coming to Orlando to help raise funds for a ministry called 320 Ministries that brings church to the elderly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, that's, I know that's been on your heart too, because again, with Kathy's mom for years, you brought church to their place where she lived, and you would go in, and it wouldn't all just be hymns or worship songs. I know you did some of your music there as well, but there is something very special, isn't there, about going in and to whether it be a nursing home or assisted living place, and people who are alone. And in 2020, so many of them were truly alone for almost the entire year.
Yes, it was a terrible, terrible year for loneliness.
Yeah.
And it's a joy to be able to bring some of the love of the Lord and just the love of connection with other people back. And I think that's really what 2021 hopefully will be known for, is a year of reconnection.
Well, I hope that happens, and I certainly am praying for that, and I know that all of us are ready for this whole impact of coronavirus to be over. One day, perhaps it will be, and we're praying that it's sooner than later, but you and I are going to be grafted in. It won't be called the Million Dollar Quartet. It might be the $1.95 quartet or something like that, but we're going to get to play with these guys, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to that, and pray that a lot of money is raised for Lori's 320 Ministries. And so that's out of Vegas too, I understand.
Yes, that's right. She and her husband, Jimmy McNamara, started the ministry out of their church, and then it just grew from there. And Jimmy has now gone on to be with the Lord. And Lori is carrying on the ministry.
I did not realize that she was his husband, that he was her husband. Mm-hmm. But I remember that when he passed away, and that was, they were good friends of yours, I remember.
Very good friends, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I tell you, John, it's always a treat to have you in the studio, and give us your website where people can contact you. They can hire you for their private parties. You do all of the things that you've heard on my program today. You do live, and you do it with excellence. Give us your website.
Thank you. JohnCMorgan.com. J-O-H-N, middle initial C, Morgan.com.
John Morgan, right here in the Central Florida area. That's where he resides. And we're grateful to have him here on the program. And friends, thank you for being with me today. We'll catch you next time right here on the Shepherd Radio Network on Afternoons with Mike.